Today's scripture reading comes from Micah 5, 1-5. Marshal your troops now, city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses. We will raise against them 7 shepherds, even 8 commanders. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. We are 1 week closer to Christmas from last week. This morning, we start singing Christmas songs, carols, the lights are on, the decorations are put in, and then tonight will be our long-waited for Christmas dinner, and we added one more table this past week, so we're going to expect a good time of fellowship, and everybody looking for the our church celebration. Christmas celebration, 2 weeks, I think, yeah, 2 weeks from today. So there's a lot of hope, and you're probably hoping for you're going to get a raise from your company. So Christmas is about hope, and without hope, it's hard for us to move on, isn't it? Florence Chadwick, and American swimmer. In 1950, she was the first one who crossed the English Channel both ways. She's the first woman to swim the English Channel both ways, from England to France, and then the following year, from France to England, and then the following year from England to France, both ways. So she is no doubt one of the best, I guess, at least long distance swimmer at that time. So in 1952, and she attempted to swim across from the California coast to the Catalina Island, which is 33 kilometers away. So how far is 33 kilometers? Most of us don't know because we always drive. So if you swim from here to Coquitlam Mall, you all know where Coquitlam Mall is, right? It's a little bit farther than Metro Town. So you swim from church here, I checked on Google last night, you swim from here to Coquitlam Mall, and then from Coquitlam Mall, you swim in a straight line, assuming that you can swim in a straight line, to SFU. That's about 33 kilometers. So it's a long, even for driving, it's a long way. So in 1952, Florence Chadwick attempted to swim across from California coastline to the Catalina Island. And that day, there's a other little boat that's protecting her from the sharks. So they have to fire off guns to scare away the sharks, because that's the California coast. And the jellyfish, you can't scare away the jellyfish. This is a strong current, also to protect her in case she's tired, exhausted, so they can get her out of the water. So her parents, her mother, my next on a little boat rowing going next to her. But that day is the weather was really foggy, really heavy fog and chilly. So after about 15 hours is a long time in the water. It's almost like you start swimming last night at 6 o'clock, right? So you're still swimming. Then we start worshiping here. 15 hours is a long time. So she's getting doubt whether she can finish. So she told her mother that I cannot handle any more after 15 hours. I want to get out. But the mother said, no, just go on. You're almost there. Go on. So for another hour, and then finally, she said, I cannot handle it. I'm not going to make it. Please get me out of the water. So they pulled her out of the water. She was physically, but emotionally exhausted. And all the time, she cannot see where she is going because it's the fog, and she had to follow the directions. So the and then when she being pulled out of the water, and then she realized that she's only a mile away from the island. A mile is about, you go walk around the track 4 times, that's 1 mile. And then next day in the when she faced the journalist, and then she said that all I could see was the fog. I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it. The reason she did not make it, she failed. I mean, it's a mile, it's a mile. You did not reach the shoreline, you fail. And her failure, it's not, she says, not because of the weather, the sharks, the physical strength, but because she cannot see the shore, the land. She lost hope. So when we lose hope, it's hard for us to go on. Today, for the young people, we are buying a house in Vancouver. It's sometimes hopeless, isn't it? When I first came to Canada many years ago, most young people pay off their house in 10 years. The house is so cheap. I don't want to go into debt and discourage people. But today, the young people sometimes feel hopeless. When can I afford to buy my own place? Let me look at our society, our country. Sometimes we feel this hopeless, all these homeless people. How are we going to solve this problem? It wasn't like this before. Let me look at the world. We don't know what's going to happen in Syria. Is it going to be replaced with more violence? We don't know. We have to just have to pray for them. When is the war in Ukraine going to end? And when are we going to see peace in Gaza? Sometimes it seems to be hopeless. And today we look at the book from Micah, a prophet, which was written around 700 years before the birth of Christ. And Micah also faced this hopeless situation with his country. And they were under threat. They were under threat from the Assyrians. And they were scared that they may be overtaken by the enemies. But not only that they are scared of the enemies going to invade, going to kill them, but also within their own people, they have problems. Probably worse than us. I don't know. In Micah chapter 2, verse 2, they covered the people, they covered fields, and then they seized them. So the people of power, they take away the properties from the weak, from the poor, and houses. They take them away. They rob a man and his house, a man and his inheritance. Can I justify wicked scales and a bag of deceptive ways? And people who are doing business are cheating, right? Using scales that were for deceptive ways. The godly person has perished from the land. There's no more righteous people. no more godly people, and there's no upright person among men. All of them lie in wait for bloodshed. Each of them hunts the other with a net. Concerning evil, both hands do it well. The prince, even the royalties, ask also the judge for a bribe. And the great man speaks the desire of his soul, so they weave it together. And the leaders pronounce judgment for money. Her priests, even the religious leaders, instruct for a price. So you have to give them money before I do a counseling. And her prophets, even the prophets, derive for money. Yet they lean on the Lord, saying, I am not the Lord in our midst. Calamity will not come upon us. Though all the people walk each in the name of his own God, and they have all left the Lord Yahweh. If you look at it, sometimes Canada is like that, isn't it? We were supposed to be a Christian country, but yet we are walking further and further away from the Bible. The godly person has perished from the land, and there's no upright person. Micah describing a situation that is hopeless, isn't it? But yet, in this hopeless situation, and God used Micah, the prophet, to prophesize the coming of Christmas hope. Of course, they don't have the term Christmas yet, but it's to prophesize the coming of the Messiah. Now, master yourself. So we're going to look at six verses from Micah, and I think these are the key verses. And the prophet is prophesying not only to his people at that time, which was 700 years before the birth of Christ, but also to us today. Now muster yourself in troops, daughter of troops. They have laid siege against us. With a rod they will smite the judge of Israel on the cheek. Before we see peace, before we have salvation from the Lord, we are going to see tribulations. We're going to see war. We're going to see enemies coming in and invade our country. They will siege our lands. Before the light shine, the light came, we will see darkness. With a rod, they will smite the judge of Israel on the cheek. What does that mean? The cheek is one of the most sensitive, weak, one of our weakest part of our body. When we do fighting, we don't hit the people's shoulder or the back or the bum, right? You hit the cheek, right? If you can get one good punch on the chin, you can knock out your opponent. So here, Micah is saying we are going to be humiliated, disgrace, dishonor. We're going to be dominated. The enemies will hit us at the cheek, on our cheek. We're going to suffer. So before there is comfort, before there's peace, there will be suffering. Suffering in the hands of the enemies. And from reading the scripture nowadays, when we look back, we know what the Israelites, what the Jewish people have to go through before they see peace, before they have they are rescued. And verse 1 and 2, so the six verses we're going to look at from Micah, verse 1 and 2, the prophet is describing what's going to happen to you. First, you have to suffer first. You'll be in pain, humiliated. And then the Messiah will come. And then verse 3 to 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. 3 to 4, you talk about this Messiah, how this Messiah is like. Is it going to be a military a general, a hero to rescue us from the Assyrians. We're going to look at that when we get to verse 3 and 4. And then 5 and 6. 5 and 6 is about how God at the end, the victory belongs to the Lord. Verse 2. One, the prophets told the people that you are going through tribulations, and then the light will come. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. The Old Testament is full of prophecy, and all the prophecies is pointing to the coming of the Messiah. That's why the Bible is so fantastic, wonderful. This is not just a book of literature, teaching, just not a moral textbooks, but it is full of prophecies. Micah, 700 years plus before the birth of Christ, is prophesying the coming of this Messiah from a little town, a little small place of Bethlehem. And people estimated that at that time there's about maybe 500 people, no more than 2,000 people live in this little town. So it's a small town. Why did God pick this small place? Why, if Taylor Swift is going to sing in Canada, she's going to come to Toronto and Vancouver, not in Coquitlam. Right? Sorry, anybody live in Coquitlam? Excuse me. Right? She's going to come into a big town, right? So if this Messiah is going to come, right? Why not Jerusalem? Right? Some big place. Why this little town that only have 500 people? But this Messiah is going to come as a humble child. But the next time when he comes back, it will be different. That's the next sermon. So this Messiah, Micah prophesied that he will come in this little town, a humble little child. But all this is being fulfilled in the New Testament. All the Old Testaments are fulfilled in the New Testament. They reply in Matthew chapter 2, verse 5 to 6. For this is what the prophet, so Matthew here is referring to Micah. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. This is fulfilled. All the Old Testament prophets about the Messiah are fulfilled in the New Testament. And this little baby, let's go back to this. And this little baby, a Messiah, is more than just a leader whose origins are form of old, from ancient time. What does it mean by from old? Old meaning is from the beginning. It's from the beginning. Who would have been from the beginning? This is about the beginning of time. Right? And with John, and this again being fulfilled in the Gospel of John on Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Jesus the Messiah was in the beginning with God, and he is God. So all this is being prophesied 730 years before the birth of Jesus by Micah, by other prophets. And also Micah said that this Messiah, not only that is from the beginning, but also he go into eternity. and only Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Wait. Go back to this verse again here. Form of old and from ancient times, from the beginning to eternity. And this is Jesus. So Micah here is prophesying, it's not just a normal person, but not even David can claim that he's from the beginning and to eternity. Only Jesus can. So the verse 1 and 2, the prophet here is encouraging his people that one day a Messiah will come. This Messiah is greater than David, greater than anybody you know, because this person, this Messiah, is from the beginning to eternity, the Alpha and Omega. So brothers and sisters, friends, if today you feel kind of you lost hope, maybe not hopeless, you lost hope in many things, maybe it's not the finance situation that you lose, so maybe a relationship that you feel hopeless, your circumstances, you feel hopeless. And Prophet Micah here encourage you that there is light, there is a Savior, there's a Shepherd that's coming. But before that, you may have to go through bad times, just like the Israelite people. Charles Spurgeon said, hope itself is like a star, not to be seen in the sunshine of prosperity. When you're doing well, you probably don't need any hope, isn't it? I don't need any hope because I have everything. But only when you are in despair, in darkness, you want to see the light. And only to be discovered in the night of adversity. So may Micah encourage all of us this morning here, if you are in your heart, you lose hope on person, on circumstances, relationships. And then Micah move on, and this Messiah, how this Messiah is going to be like? In verse 3 and 4. And this Messiah is not just a military leader. Therefore, he will give them up until the time when Su, who is in labor, has born a child. Then the remainder of his brothers will return to the sons of Israel. Now this is a special Messiah. When Su, who is in labor, who is this Su? It's not really clear here. So one of the interpretation is referring to the mother of Jesus. But I think the prophet here is prophesying something is bigger than that. And most people will believe this is referring to the people of Israel. There will be a birth of the people of Israel again. And some interpret even further today that we interpret this as the church, a new Israel, a new people of God. In Micah 4:10, the previous chapter, birth and labor to give birth, daughter of Zion, like a woman in childbirth. So this woman is referring to Zion, not a person, but a group of people. Zion, the Israelites. But I would even interpret this even further. Of course, when Micah make the prophecy, he can only see the coming of the Messiah, but he may not be able to see the first and the second coming of the Messiah. At least that's my interpretation. He can only see that the Messiah is coming, but he may not be able to see all the details. But today we have the full revelation from God. We know that there is a second coming of Christ. Hebrews 12:22. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. Now we have God's full revelation. We understand more. This Zion, this woman in labor, is more than just Mary, more than just the Jewish people, more than just the Israelite, the nation, more than just church. It's the future heaven, Zion, Jerusalem. So the prophet Micah may not know the full detail, but God gave him the revelation. He's prophesying something, the coming of Messiah, but also his second coming. Isn't this wonderful? Jesus came 2,000 years ago and fulfilled the prophecy. The Messiah has come and give us peace and give us love, care. He bring a harmony to earth. And this Messiah is not a military leader, and he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. Now, who can say that he will be great? Not even Donald Trump can say that. He can only make American USA great. But this person will be great to the ends of the earth. So the prophet here is seeing something beyond the physical Zion, the physical Israel. He's seeing something, a spiritual church, a spiritual Zion, that this Messiah will be great to the ends of the world, ends of the earth. The gospel will be preached to the ends of the world. He is like a shepherd, not a military leader. John 10:11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Isn't this fascinating? All these prophecies about the Messiah in the Old Testament is fulfilled, every one of them, on Jesus, the Messiah. But during this time, there is a waiting period. We have to wait. Like Micah, the people of his people at that time, they had to wait for the first coming of Christ. Unfortunately, they missed it. But today, we are waiting for the second coming of Christ. And let's hope that we don't miss it. We have to wait. Waiting is difficult. When we were at the Athens, our ship docked at the port of Athens. So we decided to save some money, so we took a public bus to see the Acropolis. And it's about almost an hour bus. Going there is no problem. Now coming back, I said, okay, we'll save some money, we're going to take a bus back to the dock. And if you know that you have to be there at a certain time, before a certain time, the ship not going to wait for you, so you cannot be late. So we decided we take a bus. So we stood there. The bus, how late can the bus be, right? So we stood there. So after 15 minutes, then we started to wonder, is the bus going to come? So after 30 minutes, okay, we're getting a bit stressful now. What if the bus is late and we miss the ship? We'll be stuck in Athens. So after 45 minutes, then we're going to start a little bit of panic. Okay, what should we do now? Should we call a cab? But it's really busy. But this is maybe this is how people live here. No, you have to wait an hour for bus. We don't know. So after over an hour, the bus finally came. We are so relieved. And waiting for the coming of the Lord, coming. Second coming of the Lord is kind of like that. We do not know when. We don't know. But like the bus will come. We know that it will come, just whether when he will come. So we are in a time of waiting. And he is our shepherd. He will care for us. He will lead us. He will be great to the ends of earth. And then the final verse 5. Verse 5, this one will be our peace. So this is the second week of the advent, peace. And our hope is all of us are hoping for peace in the world, isn't it? We are relatively peaceful here, but we're hoping for peace in Europe, in the Middle East, in the world. The one will be our peace. Peace in the Old Testament is shalom. And this peace has more significance than our English word peace. So I look up the Hebrew dictionary. Shalom means completeness, soundness, welfare, peace. A completeness in numbers. In the Bible, the seven is a perfect number. So completeness in number, safety for our physical safety, soundness, welfare, health, prosperity, peace, quiet, tranquility, contentment between people. So peace, shalom between people, between friendship of human relationships, but it's also peace with God, especially in the covenantal relationship, and also peace from the absence of war. So this peace, shalom in Hebrew, is a lot more rich than our English word peace. And Jesus, this Messiah, will bring us peace, the peace that we are all hoping for, isn't it? Today we are hoping, we're all praying for peace. We see all these people suffering in wars, even though we are protected from it, but we are worried. We are also concerned. We have to pray for peace. Jesus is the peace. Ephesians 2:14, He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Jesus came that he brought the Israelites, Jewish people with the Gentiles. So this is what the Ephesians here is referring. But also he brings peace to people. Today, the only way we can have a real peace is when we are all in Christ. In Christ is Christ that can remove the war, that can bring us together. But Jesus not only brings peace between nations, He brings peace within our hearts. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. This is a peace within yourself. We have wars, battles, struggles within ourselves. Our own ego is fighting ourselves. But this peace, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And this peace is a tranquility, quietness that can only come from Jesus, come from God. Verse 5 and 6 is a poem. And this poem is a parallelism. And 5 and 6. And the words that I highlighted is about the coming of the enemies. When the Assyrian invades our land, when he trembles on our citadels, they will shepherd the land of Assyria with the sword, the land of Nimrod. Nimrod is referring to the Babylonians, at its entrance. So at that time, they were scared, the Israel people were scared of the Assyrians, but the prophet already know that. So one day, it is the Babylonians going to capture you. But then, in this poem, Micah give them the comfort. Even though all this will come, actually they will come, but at the end, then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 leaders. There's no specific meaning for these 7 shepherds. 7 is a perfect a spiritual number. 8 is perfect plus 1, that's even more perfect. So that's all it meant. 7 shepherds and 8 leaders. That means God will send his shepherds, his people, his leaders to protect the people of the Israel. And he will deliver us from the Assyrian. So at the end, so this is Micah's prophecy, promise, God's promise through Micah to the people. And at the end, He will deliver us from the Assyrian. It's a word of comfort, word of hope. Today we may feel like Micah, at Micah's time, seems to be hopeless. A lot of, when can I buy my house? My condominium, then buy the house. When can I see peace? When can we see people can live together, even in our country, peacefully together? Sometimes we lose hope. We may think that it will never come. But prophet here says there will be peace, but may not be the kind of peace we think it is. This is the peace in Christ. So our job here is to bring this peace to other people. We cannot help the people in Ukraine unless you go there, and I don't know how much we can do. But we can bring God's peace to the people next to us, and then He will bring this peace to the people next to them, and then this peace will spread out. We need to have hope. Jesus is coming back. That is our hope, and that's our encouragement. Jesus came back 2,000 years ago the first time and fulfilled that all the prophecy, and He's coming back the second time. So here, while we're waiting, we need a hope. Only when you have hope, you can continue to swim. So 2 months later, Florence Chadwick, the swimmer who failed the first time, he completed the swim 2 months later only. He didn't take much rest. Two months later, he completed the swim from Catalina in 13 hours, 47 minutes, and 50 seconds. I don't know how they can count it so accurate in those days. 13 hours, he finished it. He broke the previous health record by more than 2 hours. Wow, that is quite a record. Faster than the previous record holder by 2 hours. She finished it in 14 hours, say. And people interview her after that. And because this condition, situation has not changed, that day is also the same. It's very foggy. She cannot see the land. So people ask, the journalists ask, and how come this time you can finish? Well, I still cannot see the land, she said the saw. But this time, in my mind, I know that the island is there. I can picture the saw in my mind, even though I still cannot see it in the fog. But this time, it's picture in my mind, even though I cannot see it. So I made it in record time. So we are better than the people in Micah's time, because we have seen Jesus, well, not physically, but we know He came 2,000 years ago. Jesus is now in our mind, in our heart. We are better than the people in Micah's time, because He has a picture in our head, in our heart now. So while we are waiting, even though we cannot see, don't know when He's coming, but now we are better than the people in those days, because we know that the Bible has all been fulfilled. So far, everything the Bible tells, says, fulfilled, and we know that His second coming will be fulfilled. So while we are still swimming, there seems to be hope for people around us, maybe don't see any hope, but we know there's the hope, Christmas hope, because we know that Jesus came 2,000 years ago. We saw the shore. We saw the land. So let's keep this in our heart, in our mind. Even though the situation may be challenging around us, but we know Jesus is there, because we have tasted His heavenly peace. Let's continue to swim towards the shore, towards the goal, towards Jesus, and wait for the second coming of Jesus. Martin Luther King, we must accept finite disappointment. There may be temporary disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, in Christmas timeness, help all of us to continue to have hope in you. Our hope is not on world leaders, on our wealth, but it's in you. You will bring peace. You will bring peace to us. You bring peace to this world. We will have heavenly, eternal peace in you. And we look forward to the day that we see you, that you return. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.